Welcome to the Simon Parkes Connecting Consciousness Show on Wolf Spirit Radio. Simon actively encourages you to post your questions live to him in the chat room at wolfspiritradio.com/listen. When you ask a question in the chat room, please make sure that you've logged into the chat and go. That's the set name at the bottom. That you have a nickname, and that you ask one question in all caps. That makes it easier for us to collect. Thank you. The next 2 hours will be full of debate, interview guests, and up-to-date news. Please join Simon and play an active role. Connecting Consciousness Show. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
Yes, indeed. Now, I got to do the date. It's the 1st of the 1st, 2017. This is the first show of 2017. If you're listening to this and it's not dated, you know, go elsewhere. Go to Studio 9 Jam, where you'll find the real stuff. So anyway, welcome to Wolf Spirit Radio. Welcome to the Alternative Sunday Service. And welcome, indeed, to Consciousness, Connecting Consciousness with Simon Parkes. Good evening, Simon. Oh, how are we today? I'm not feeling too well. How about you?
Good evening, JP. No, I'm just going to do the 1 hour tonight. I'm not going to do the 2 hours. Oh, it's going dead. Are you still there,
I'm
JP?
I'm still here. The, I'm muting so that there's no, you won't hear anything.
Right, so just going to do the one hour tonight because I have been under, what we can only describe as psychic attack on 2 days. I did a lovely interview with Kerry Cassidy. Kerry is over from the States, and she was here and she drove over a couple of hours drive to come and see me. So we did a lovely 4 or 5 hours, and of that maybe was a couple of hours of the actual interview. But that morning I was very heavily psychically attacked, and when Kerry came into the room, she felt that something was trying to put a very cold, freezing spell, for want of a better word, around her legs. So we were both heavily got at, but we saw it off, and we successfully did that. Now, today again, not had too much of a fun day. Had some remote viewing done, not by me, by others, and remote viewed where this attack is emanating from, and it's emanating, been quite specific, the report I've been given, emanating from Antarctica, from a group of renegade Nordics called the Banished, who work with demonic and, you know, very unpleasant energies, and are trying to psychically attack me at key moments to make my life very difficult. So that's what's happening there. That's so on the negative side, obviously I've had a bit of a hammering. That's why I'm only doing 1 hour. But it was lovely to do that interview with Kerry Cassidy. I was absolutely determined to do that. All right, this is the part of the show where, first of all, I thank people for their graciousness and their love, who've very kindly donated. Frankly, it doesn't matter whether somebody donates £1 or more than that. I'm always very grateful. So I am going to, as it's the first show of the new year, and it's a really important year, 2017. It's not just me or JP or anyone else on the radio that's saying that. It's even people in the establishment. And I've got a newspaper, an establishment newspaper, which in a moment I'm going to read out. It's the Daily Mail. And it's just absolutely staggering how much of our information, which we've been talking about for years and years, is now being pushed out in the establishment newspaper, and they're selling it as if they've just discovered it. Anyway, I want to thank the following people. Claudia, Arlene, Susan, Patrick, Anne, Astrid, Carolyn, Merrill, Lorraine, Rudolph, and that's a true name. What a wonderful name to have at this time of year, Rudolph. Tom, Mouse Mitt, that's nice, Simone, Alan, Nooney, Jessica, Sheena, Jane, Inglebury, 1000K Ways, Judith, Ken, and Michael K from the USA. So to those people and many others, thank you ever so much for donating. Thank you for keeping me going, and keeping the battle alive. So what I want to do now is quickly read from the Daily Mail for those people who are in America. This is a major establishment newspaper. Maybe people in Canada, Australia, New Zealand might be perhaps more familiar with it than people in the US. But the Daily Mail for Saturday, December the 31st, 2016. And this guy, he's got a full page, and his name is Peter Oborne. And he's put, at this point of the year, it is customary for pundits to look back and explain how the previous 12 months witnessed seismic world events. But 2016 didn't need such hype. What's more important is whether 2017 will be equally sensational. This is what I predict could shake the world, both for good or ill, in 2017. So this is Peter Oborne, and I'm now going to read a section which, if you didn't know he had written it, you would think that I'd said it on our radio show. Here we go. He's entitling it The Collapse of the Eurozone. This financial crisis will be a turning point for the EU's flawed currency system. Greece will be forced to return to the drachma, triggering a chain reaction which will quickly see Italy, Cyprus, Spain, and other southern European countries follow suit and abandon the euro currency. Greece and Italy, by now back to using their old national currencies, the lira, and others, will declare national bankruptcy and they will refuse to pay their debts. Small savers and depositors across Europe will see their investments wiped out, setting off riots. I'm actually going to read that again because it's written here, setting off riots. Paralyzed by such chaos, the European Central Bank will fail as member states will refuse to pay for all their losses. And he further goes on to write, watch out for an acrimonious battle over who owns the European Central Bank's billions of worthless debt. In the short term, this will see off a huge crashing of stock markets and an economic depression. However, there is an upside. Freed from the straitjacket of the European Union, many European countries will bounce back to economic health. This is absolutely seismic change. Here we have an establishment newspaper which has, readership of, I suppose, hundreds of thousands, millions, I really don't know, but basically saying what I and others have been saying. There is an economic crash coming. There is the potential for riots, his word, and many countries just getting out of the European Union and returning to their own currency. So if this guy, who is an establishment man on a newspaper, is saying it, it means he's picking this up from somewhere. And he doesn't listen, I'm sure, to our radio show. He's picking it up from people in the stock markets, the banks, the fund houses, all the places that can see what's around the corner. And I have predicted that January, February, March are going to see the beginning of it. So if the establishment are actually going down this road, it must be imminent, perhaps even more imminent than I and others have thought of. So we've got a situation now where everyone who has any money and who was going to spend it at Christmas has done so. The big corporations have, you know, in the process of adding up how much extra money they have and over the New Year sales period. That is the last reason why any government would wish to maintain the system. They maintain the system over Christmas and the New Year so that their friends in the corporate sector could balance their books. There are companies that if they don't have a good Christmas, they're finished. But once that's over with, there is nothing else holding this ship together. And we should begin to see situations just as Peter Oborne has written on Saturday, December 31st. So in terms of all of the things we've talked about, we're still looking at them, still wondering about the last gasp of those people who still hold the reins of power? Will they go for a false flag alien invasion? Will they go for an EMP blast to knock out certain centres? Will they go for some sort of viral attack? What will they do? There was a very serious assassination attempt on the Rothschild family, not Jacob, but on the other two members of the family. I still haven't heard whether that was successful or not. The English Queen, you know, resigned from the head of 31 or 21, the numbers have been given differently, but a large number of children's charities where she was the patron, and she's resigned from children's charities. I think that's very, very significant. And I've been told that is in response to this assassination attempt against the Rothschilds. So we have people in extremely important positions attempting to not escape, but trying to make a deal, trying to close the door on their past history and hoping against hope that people won't start to start peering into their history and asking questions. I think if you have a long-term thief who continually puts his or her hand into the till and then at the 11th hour takes the fingers out the till and imagines that makes them innocent, then I think that person is living in a very, very false world. So look for more elite people starting to do good deeds, trying to buy a forgiveness. We're also, unfortunately, I think, going to see more celebrities who are going to lose their lives. We see this as a pattern on this planet. And as we go into 2017, the real pinnacle of what we've all waited for, we will see more issues like this. We have Donald Trump ready to take office, and I still stand by what I've said, that because of that, we will not get a third world war. We saw the old outgoing administration of Obama send home lots of Russian diplomats, hoping that Russians would go tit for tat. But you see, Putin is a statesman. Many people may not like him, but he's a statesman. He did not retaliate and kick out lots of American diplomatic staff. He actually went on publicly and said, all you American diplomats are very welcome. Come to the Kremlin for my Christmas party. Now, that's the act of a statesman. That's not a crazed madman, as the establishment want us to believe. That is a guy who is playing the long game and wants to live on a planet that's not full of radiation, that's, you know, far more equal. So we've got things to hang on to which show great promise and great hope for the future. And obviously, as we go into 2017, I will update people on information that I receive. But at the moment, this is the quiet before the storm. When I say storm, I don't mean a panic storm. Storm in terms of us having to deal with lots of different things that are going to be happening all at once. So thank you very much. We had to go through 2016. There were some difficult times, but we're still here. We're still battling. We still believe. And there are more and more wake, aware, good people on the planet who are determined to get to the truth. And they can't be stopped. So for me, yes, it was a difficult year, but it's a positive year. And 2017 is the most exciting year on this planet for a very long time. So thank you very much for your patience, JP.
Oh, no problem. I'm very, it's always interesting listening to your updates and, you know, seeing how that matches up with all the other intel that's going on from all the different directions. So it's always good. And your stuff is never, it's not off the internet. You know, it's coming from direct sources, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, that's the thing, you know, people very kindly write in and say, you know, that they'd hear it here first. Listen to our radio show and that's where they hear it first. And that's, I think, is exciting.
Isn't it? Isn't it at all? So, right. Shall we begin our question period? Because, I mean, we've got a short show So I'm gonna I'm just gonna make the text a lot bigger. That's better. Scroll that right up. I'm getting on a bit. I can't see very well. All right. So No, we can't do that one. How about Kirsten? Oh no. Right. Okay. There we go. All right, there we go. Let's start off with a good old New Year's message. No, this is about black magic. All right, this is from Kirsten. Hello, Simon and JP. Wishing all your listeners a beautiful 2017. My question, what is the link between satanic rituals and Draco reptilians? And where does the knowledge of black magic originate? Thank you, Kirsten. That is a very good question.
Okay, so that's our first question for 2017.
Yeah, that's right. We're hardcore. They're hardcore, these people.
Well, we don't run away from things on this show. We'll take anything unless we've got some information for it. It is very relevant because that's still the energy that persists in many parts of the planet. It's still, unfortunately, part of the control system. The two are separate but have been joined. So we need to understand that black magic in its true sense doesn't naturally exist on this plane. If you have something that's pure, it doesn't have a need for it. So these things have to be brought in. And if it's brought in, it's been brought in to make an enclave or to support a way of life or to support a group. So if you want to operate outside of the seeing or hearing of the vast majority of people, you have to use something that they don't see. Now, with the modern advanced back-engineered alien technologies that are now available on this planet, it is possible to do things that most people can't see. But if we went back a few hundred or thousand years, that technologies were not anything like available. And so people used black magic in order to control people, or to do things behind their back they couldn't see. The reptilians were instrumental in gifting this technology, I'm calling it a technology, and giving the spells that are to work in a third degree planet like ours. So when the Babylon system created in the modern sense of the word, the money that we know, they didn't just produce money, they linked it into the human psyche and anchored it to the planet via black magic spells. And that is why places like the Bank of England or the Fed are placed on particular important points that they've created. So they're not always on a natural energy line, they are on misdirected energy. In other words, if you have natural energy running through the planet, you might stick a building or a particular stone that was perhaps used in sacrifices maybe 1,000 years ago, and you can deflect or split some of this energy and send it on a different path. Well, you can align it to hit your bank, and so you would use it from a negative perspective to try to increase your money. The spell I'm talking about, though, is about hooking it into the human psyche so that people become addicted to it like a drug user gets addicted to crack cocaine. And the human race is sadly addicted to money because it doesn't understand an alternative. And you know very well, JP, that some of us, including you, are working very hard on something on the planet that will offer an alternative. So black magic has had its own life. When the reptilians enhanced it, they gave it a connectivity to the earth, which it didn't have at that point. And they then gave that with demonic agreements to individuals in satanic groups and said, we will give you this knowledge, this power, which will allow you to create manifestations on a third dimensional planet, which you wouldn't otherwise be able to do, but in return for that, this is what we want. And so this sounds a bit odd, but any black magician worth his salt will contain a demon in his body. When I say worth his salt, what I'm saying is that anyone who's gone to black magic school, who doesn't have a demon in him, is not going to rise up through the ranks. That's why black magicians are the most unhappy people on the planet, because they are sharing their space with a demonic entity, not always a djinn, can be something else, and it is a symbiotic, parasitic relationship, because the black magician cannot create images on a third dimensional planet unless he contains fourth dimensional energy with an entity like that. So I'll give you an example. Such an individual could hold his hand up and at the tips of his fingers would appear to be stars. Such an individual could attempt to extinguish a flame of a candle from 6 feet away, not through pure psychic power, but through demonic energy invested in that individual. So yeah, big subject. We've only got an hour tonight, so I hope that goes some way towards answering it for you.
This may be a subject for a longer show, a separate show, just black magic, white magic. What's it all about, Simon? Kind of thing.
Happy to do that. Happy to do it.
It'd be a good one, wouldn't it? Okay. Well, something we can, plan for and look forward to. Right. Okay. All right. That's about Trump. Okay, here's a good one. Okay, so Guillaume in Australia, best wishes 2017, and thank you so much for your contribution on behalf of all humanity and beings of love and light. Does chakra color have a real meaning, and what are their real colors from root to crown? Is it red to purple, etc.?
I was in a bookshop, and one of the customers in front of me said to the guy, well, it's already New Year's Day in Australia, and I'm assuming that's correct. It's amazing, isn't it, how time works on this planet. We're not a very big planet, but, you know, one part can be, celebrating New Year's Day, and then a few thousand miles the other way, we haven't quite got there yet. There's a lot of debate at the moment about chakras. Some people saying that it's a control mechanism. You know, you have a system within your body that's both physical through glands or openings and also energetical, and that it's used to control because you can block or you can alter. I don't know that I go down that road. I have actually been given a color chart for chakras, and I can't answer that because I can't remember the chart. I sadly don't see colors. Now, there are some very gifted people on the planet who can look at somebody and not only see the color of their auras, but are capable of looking at the chakras to see what colors they emit. Now, certain chakras emit certain color because that's a certain frequency, but when a chakra is under strain or under attack, then its frequency will change slightly. For instance, I am often attacked in my stomach area, and or a photograph, it showed a black blob, and that's where dark energy was trying to attack me and to make me ill. So we can all change our colors, although by and large, it would stay within the grouping of the chakra colors. So any decent book, which you can get from a proper shop, I don't mean a high street bookshop, go to a proper spiritual bookshop or online store, and you'll find some very, very useful elements to how to clear chakras, the colours they should be. But always remember that the colour is a colour, but it's the frequency of energy. And purple is a very important colour. All right, thank you.
Yeah, it's a color is a thing. Because I'm colorblind, I don't do colors. I do more forms and stuff like that. So you get a different kind of, different frequencies of information on that. Okay, here we go. Remember last time somebody asked you a question and there was a trigger phrase in there? There's a question about that.
I'm happy to take that.
Could you please explain what you meant by the question having an energy block and trigger words? This is from Matthias in Denmark.
Right, thank you. I don't listen to, well, not all of them. I listen to some when I finish the show. I sometimes listen in and, you know, what we've talked about is debated, isn't it? And it was interesting that I do listen to some of them, actually. And that actually came up. And it was, a bit of a topic of a conversation, and rightly so. I'm not saying, excuse me, I'm not saying that the person who wrote that knew what they were doing. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that the sentence contained a pre-programmed instructional device which, for somebody who has been mind controlled, would automatically accept that, would not detect it, and then they might do something or say something because they had been triggered by that. Now, the question asked two things: what's a trigger and what's an energy block? Okay. I've always, always gone public with the fact that I had a reptilian part to me and a mantid part to me. I've never hidden that. And I've also said that I had programming when I was very young to ensure that I could never be programmed. And this was told to me by a doctor. It's not me telling them. It was a doctor who worked at Pine Gap. So a doctor whose job was to work with American and Australian personnel who had emotional and psychological breakdowns at the Pine Gap energy weapon base where there are ETs based. I had the great privilege to meet this person who said after some time talking to me that in her opinion, I had been programmed so that I could never be programmed. And we had a tremendous experience of that when that question was asked. Now then, when somebody attempts to trigger me, the phrase or the writing or whatever it is appears as an energy block. So in other words, it doesn't get to me because I activate and create an energy block. If we understand that written words and spoken words are nothing more than spells. So we are talking about magic. That's why we call spell a word, don't we? Spell the word cat, C-A-T, spell it, because it's a spell. But of course we don't teach children, school or university that. So when an energy, all things are energy, or you can convert them if you understand it, it's a code. And so I produce an energy block which prevents that from getting through to me. And then I can look at it without it affecting me, and I could see where the trigger is, what it was designed to do, and who put it there. Not, was it Fred or John or George, but was it human or was it alien? And what, you know, I could trace it back. So when somebody attempts to take control of me, either by a spell or color or whatever it might be, it doesn't work. It blocks immediately. And I will detect that instantly, and then I will then look at it and say, well, okay, that's a trigger designed to do that. I mean, the number of people, that's why I gave Facebook up. The number of people who would write things to me, and from the very obvious, which would be a sentence within five or six sentences that had absolutely no relation to the topic or the subject heading. And people who'll say something and it doesn't work, and then the look on their face, and they will repeat it because they can't understand why it hasn't had an effect on me. You know, and I'm sure there are many people who sadly do not, you know, by the grace of God go I, did not have that special defense mechanism. And that's how these people get taken over, and they sadly jump off buildings or take an overdose of drugs, or they're psychically activated to, think about Max Spears. And that is a classic example of somebody, very good man, always said he was good, who had a program in him from a very, very long age ago. And then it was, activated by a queener. So you could have something and it could sit like a Trojan horse in you for 20, 30 years, and then you are given these triggers, but if you don't have the ability to energy block it, it will activate. And, you know, it's a great shame that there are so many of these people, either intentionally or unintentionally, running loose out there. So I hope that's a good answer for you.
Thank you. Here's a little bit of fun. I hope it's a little bit of fun anyway. This is from Richard. Simon, can you tell us what Donald Trump's soul ancestry is? When I doused, I got reptilian and Sirius. He's actually, you know, he's putting it forward. When I doused, I got reptilian and Sirius A. Melania is the same, but Sirius B. Their son Baron, I got Lyran and Sirius A. And finally, all three, Donald, Melina and Baron, are born in the Chinese zodiac year of the dog, and Sirius is the dog star. Am I even close?
You're close, but you're not 100%.
Well done. Bad, eh? Well done.
Very good. Donald Trump has a considerable amount of reptilian in him, but he would have to be because you need that to anchor in the planet because the planet has got so much reptilian energy in it at the moment. But he has a large amount of what I refer to as higher human, which is a human form outside of the third dimension. If I look at Donald Trump, then I see his higher human is fifth dimensional. I can see that whilst he is not Palladian, he has spent time in the Pleiades. And anybody who comes to this planet to fight for goodness and truth, who is coming from the higher human aspect, will always call in to the Pleiades because that's where you get trained to defend yourself. It's the only human group that has successfully maintained itself against the reptilians after war after war after war. The Palladians give as good as they get, but some of the other groups are pretty tough as well, but the Palladians take the biscuit. So he doesn't have that as his sole group, but when I look at him, I can see that he's spent time there to train and prepare. The Sirius side, I agree with that, Cyrus or Sirius, depending on our pronunciation. I'm not going to go down the road of whether it was A or B, but certainly there is some Sirius or Cyrus energy, but I don't want to give the game away too much. What I will say is higher human. So it's a large percentage of Donald Trump, which is fifth dimensional, higher human. And that was his role. This is what he's all about. Coming here, preventing a third world war, and offering an alternative. You know, I never try and bring politics into it. I don't say you should vote for X or Y, and I've never, ever said you should vote for X or Y. But I do say these are the choices we have, and this is what's likely to come from choice A or choice B. And from that perspective, I always said that Trump was the better deal, simply because who wants to live on a planet and vote for someone that's hell-bent on a third world war? So, yeah, I hope that's an answer for you. Thank you.
That's great. But what about Melania? Is she, no idea?
How I work on it, I'm visual. So I know Donald Trump quite well, so I can just do the reading like that. But for any extended members of the family or other government people, or any individual, what needs to happen is I need, at the time I'm asked the question, to hold a photograph up.
Right.
Because I'm visual. That's how I work. If I can't see them in the flesh, then a photograph will do.
Okie doke. Right. So, let's turn my mic back up again. This is nice. This is from, Cat. Dear Simon, this is from Tess. These shows have really taught me so much. You and JP are the best, aren't you? Thank you. My question has to do with astral travel. In the past, when I've been practicing, I would begin to hear what sounded to me like the purr of a cat. I don't have a cat, so it's not a cat in the room, though sometimes I felt it was a cat was sitting right next to my leg. The other night in bed, during a meditation, I heard the purring sound, and I felt like there were two animals moving furiously around under my blanket. With astral travel experience, it seems like animals, cats in particular, are involved in some way. or is it something else? Do you have experience in this, and can you tell me what might be happening here, and if I might be able to better know what to do in these situations? Thank you in advance for your kindness.
Right, thank you. Thank you for listening to the show, and thank you for writing in. Unfortunately, it doesn't tell us about the preamble. It doesn't tell us about how that individual got to that state, what sort of meditation was done, or whether the questioner just closed their eyes and what they visualized, or we've just been given the exciting bit, which actually when you going backwards, I need like some of the more bread and butter stuff. So I'm going to try and answer it based on what is not a full picture. We know that non-human entities played a part in building a number of structures over the earth, and one of them was the Great Pyramid. And we know that sculptures were done of cat-like beings. And we know that we don't believe the Egyptologists when they tell us that it was a man or a woman with a cat mask on. These people are not cats, but they resemble cats, and they know that on this earth, as in many cases, what's on the planet replicates what is on other worlds, that there is a strong similarity between them and the domestic cat. And if you're dealing with a human, and I mean the word deliberately, you're dealing with a human who has no experience of off-planet entities but sees you walking about while you're building the pyramid, it is quite a shock. And the last thing you want is your workforce throwing down their axes and spades and running off. So what they did was they entered people's minds to make themselves look even more cat-like. So we call it a screen memory. And they produce sounds which we interpret as pleasant, happy sounds, purring. The questioner already has told me in the question that she, I think it's a woman, she felt a cat by her leg. I think that's exactly what you had, but I don't think it was, you know, a soulmate cat that you might have had 200, 300 years ago. I think it was potentially somebody through your activation. If you try to astral travel, you advertise yourself, and good and bad energies can take interest in that. But if you do have a connection with either Orion, or Cyrus, or Sirius, then if you have a connection there, then it is quite feasible that if you go into the astral, one of these beings will come and see you. I'm a little bit disturbed to hear that there was movement under the blanket, under the bedclothes. I should be careful with that one. It's not unusual for these beings to give the impression of a domestic cat on the bed. It's the first stage in opening a communication with what they would consider a member of their family. And it may be that the energies were wrong, and instead of appearing as something on top of the bed, it sort of got under the blankets, as it were, and created that. But we should always have a rule that unless you are 100% confident of what you're dealing with, you should say, you're too close. You're in my space. I don't want you in my space. I'm quite happy to hold a conversation with you and meet you and talk to you, but you need to respect my own personal space. And I would advise you that you practice that before you start seeking any form of communication. Okay, because unless you set the guidelines, unless you set the boundaries, then there might be something that will attempt to, you know, what do we say in England? You give them an inch and they take a mile. So astral travel, remember, you will see visions generally in the black and white. And if you do catch a glimpse of these creatures, see if they're in black and white, because that is definitely astral. If you're seeing it outside of astral in color, then hey ho, they've actually arrived in the physical. So, you know, good luck with that. Thank you.
Daya. Excuse me.
Bless you.
From Daya. Hi, Simon. Happy New Year. I have two physical traits that my Wicca friends is enviable in her coven. I have a widow's peak and long extended bicuspids in my upper teeth, like a vampire. I understand that at times a widow's peak was called a devil's peak. From an Illuminati and magical perspective, what do these traits mean to you? Also, I prefer to be vegetarian, but sometimes get very anemic or low energy with an all-vegetarian diet. My teeth are like cats and dogs' teeth, like carnivores made to rip flesh rather than chew grain. I feel bad when I need a little meat to feel better. It makes me understand how the reptiles feel when they use humans to survive. Can you give me any advice on this? For I wish to be fully vegetarian. Oh, what an amazing question. Thank you.
Amazing question. Take it the other way around. Reptiles don't need to eat people to survive. Let's make that clear. Reptilians eat humans because they believe they have a right to do so. So just like so many people on this planet eat pigs and cattle and chickens and turkeys because they believe they have a right to do so. So actually, when vast numbers of humans give up eating meat, it will put a huge psychic pressure on the reptilians to do so the same. Because when one species believes it is dominant, it believes it has the right to do whatever it likes. So that's where we're coming from with that one. Excuse me. Witches in a coven do tend to suffer from jealousy. This is true. However.
Really?
It's all right. I suppose that was funny. However, because of the comradeship that should exist between witches, even black witches and white witches actually have a comradeship because they are witches full stop. And really they shouldn't be too jealous because you should be happy that the sisterhood has produced or has a witch that has a, unkindly would be a throwback, more kindly would be a linear historical connection with witches that exhibited telltale signs of hybridization. Now that I think is new for people. Remember that the Wiccan, understanding is somewhat different from some of the other forms of witch history. It's a particular arm of it with particular values. Originally, in my humble opinion, witches were very closely connected to the reptilian culture, but they made a conscious decision to be independent because they were feminine. Remember that the reptilian culture is masculine and feminine energy can connect with a planet in a way that male energy never can. Hence why churches and religious orders really turned on not just witches, but on women generally. You know, that's why, you know, it wasn't until just over a hundred and some years ago that women actually got the vote in this country. Why would you give women the vote? You know, it's the fear factor that feminine energy working with the planet. That's why there are so many leaders at the moment in countries who are feminine. Not because Source has put them there, but because the evil people have put them there because they're trying to hoodwink or trying to use that energy, and the cover is, well, you're feminine, so, you know, you can probably get away with it, whereas a man couldn't. Certain individuals will carry certain physical traits, which don't just show a witch line, they show a line within it. So you could actually trace families of witches who would have specific times. So for instance, they might have the small finger of the left hand might be incredibly long, or somebody might grow one fingernail really long And if you did a history check back, you'd find that their mother and their great-grandmother and so on and so forth had the same aspect. It's a very important point. Witches generally are good. Witches aren't a problem. I don't have a problem with witches. Remember, it's not the witch that's bad or good. It's what they use the magic for, just like a magician. We call a magician a black magician if he is using magic for bad purposes. But if you use magic for good purposes, you're not a black magician, you're a white magician. You know, white witches, grey witches and black witches. It's purely and simply the energy culture, the energy connection that you choose to hook to. And there are people 700 years ago who were black witches who are now white witches because they've made that transference from a very heavy, dense energy history through to a much lighter, more open history. And that means they've learned. Those people are invaluable because they have understood how the evil side works and they've come through it. So we need to be careful. We need to accept that witchcraft exists. We need to honour it and ensure that witches are practicing magic for the betterment of themselves, their family, their friends and humanity generally. It is the black magicians who we need to offer an alternative to. A good question, thank you.
Yeah, definitely. A good question, very good answer, thank you. That's taken that question up. Well, because we're talking about cows and pigs, and Mia asked the next question along. Hey, where's my mask on? There we are. All right. I got a lot of screen to find my mouse on. Right, Mia. How come some cows? How come cows are holy in India, and how did it come to that? Pigs are not allowed to be eaten in certain religions. There must be more to all of this, and thank you for everything you do, Mia.
You'll find that it's not just a cow, it's a white cow. That's the key. Okay, it's white. There are certain animals that have a mark on the forehead, which reminds certain cultures of a very great prophet. And when such an animal has a mark in a certain place, then it cannot be blocked, harmed. Remember in the days of Cleopatra, the last Egyptian queen, it was a capital offence to harm a cat, a domestic cat. You lost your arm if you blocked the wishes of a cat. So if a cat is walking from one room to another room, you had to stand aside. We need to understand that certain animals are given certain energy connections due to the history which is not taught in university or schools. The pig is a very interesting one. There are a number of cultures, Muslims and Jews, to my knowledge, who will not eat pork if they are following their religion very closely. If a person, God forbid, but if a person burns their hand really badly or any part of their body, they go to hospital, they can have a skin graft from a pig. So in other words, you could take the skin from a living pig and then you could graft that onto a burn of a human and the human body will not reject it. It will accept it as human skin. This is the bit that, of course, we're not told generally. And the reason for that, I believe, can't prove it, sadly, at the moment, perhaps in another year's time, all this truth might come out. But during genetic experiments a very long time ago, before this brand of humanity was on the planet, part of that DNA program was to create things. And I think I'm right in saying that pig skin is something like 98 point something percent equal to humanity. That's why the human body will take it. Now, if you are an ancient religion that has got some strong connection with off-planet entities, then you will be taught that. So the Jews a long time ago were told, you do not eat pig meat because it's like being a cannibal. It's like eating a person. And so the Muslims were taught, don't eat it. It's an unclean animal. And that is the reason for it, because pigs were part of a human genetic experiment before the present line of humans were put on this planet. And, you know, that's why the white cow is white. And remember that we've talked that white is seen as the pure color. You know, so I think we have to understand and honor these traditions, because there's a lot of truth behind them. So I hope that helps. Thank you.
Holy cow. What a great question. Yes, indeed. Indeed. And, yeah, holy cow as well. Yeah. So, leaping from that subject to the inner world, I heard that there are, this is John Barry Pierce, I heard that there are human-like beings living in the inner earth. It's said that they do have contact with certain members of the US military. It's also said that they don't want anything to do with us on the surface. Would you happen to know the reason for this? Surely we're not all that bad. Thank you very much.
There are so many different groups living in the earth. I don't know, maybe I was 6 or 7 years old. And the entity that I refer to as mum and the entity that I refer to as dad both manifested not in the astral, but in the real. So I could see them with my human eyes and I could see the color. And they went into my head and projected an image for me, a map of the earth, and basically showed me where mum was from, the constellation. We would call it the Sombrero Galaxy, I think. Now, and the interesting thing was that I was shown a picture of the earth, and the message that was coming to my head was, and dad lives in the earth. So I think most people who are awake and aware understand that the reptilians and greys have underground bases, and they understand that the, not just the US military, but a number of major countries have consignments of troops and equipment in underground bases that may or may not be shared with off-planet entities. But the question is asking deeper than that. I'm asking about those races that have had connection with humanity in the past and perhaps now think, you know, a plague on all your houses. We really don't want to be involved with you because you guys just destroy everything. You're just children. And there are many different groups, quite small, but definitely different and significant, who until very recently have refused to involve themselves in the politics and the machinations of the surface dwellers, as they used to be called. And so with the change coming 2016, 2017, number of these groups have thought, well, I need to get into dialogue, because perhaps we can't maintain our independence forever now. You know, it's getting to a point where those who live on the surface have both the technology and the intent, unlike Admiral Byrd back after the Second World War, to actually come down here and, you know, be equal with us technologically, if not, you know, spiritually. There are a number of these people that come from Atlantis and from Lemuria, and as such have always sworn to be independent. Although I've mentioned on this radio show before that some of these groups now are preparing to do a deal. The arrival of Kerry and Buzz Aldrin and what's less reported, the Pope, who turned up at Antarctica some 2-3 weeks ago, were part of a large meeting with negative as well as positive entities, not at the same time, I hasten to add, to basically see who was going to give them the best deal, what could be done, what the future held. And that's why we had that very interesting tweet from Buzz Aldrin saying it's like all evil down there. That's obviously from an unhappy episode he probably saw. But we know people like the Pope have a long history of being key decision makers for the physical on this planet. And the very fact that the Pope turned up there for a meeting means that they needed his approval, because the Pope signs off stuff which even the Queen of England can't sign off. So we've got a number of caverns or underground bases, not just stuffed full with aliens who have nothing to do with this planet, but from indigenous creatures, creatures who have a long history of life on this planet and who took themselves away and are only now beginning to open their doors to open a dialogue. So I hope that's helpful.
They're talking about bacon. So, next question. Let me take you up to, yes, Julia. Happy New Year. I'm so glad you're doing this show on you. Excuse me.
Bless you.
Oh, I'm dying. Anyway, I'm so glad you're doing a show on New Year's Day. Oh, we're really, you know, anyway, no. I have had a quandary in my mind for ages that I haven't been able to resolve inside, so I'm hoping you may be able to help. On my travels to Peru earlier this year, I met a lady who talked about the Archons and how when you die and travel towards the light, the Archons wipe your memory and you are reincarnated back on Earth and back into the whole cycle again. She said that when she dies and sees the light, she's not going to follow it and run the other way. However, I also listen to other speakers who says we are infinite consciousness and that when we die, we will return to infinite consciousness and all that is. They don't talk about being zapped. So my questions are, what is the light we are drawn to and so many experience in near death? Is that light taking us to experience infinite consciousness and all that we are, or is their attempt to follow us only is for it to be zapped and reincarnated back to the Earth? And if the Archons are using the light to trick us, what should we do? Do we run away? My mind would actually feel so much lighter if you're able to help me understand this. Thank you so much. I love your work and found it so helpful and useful since I came across you last year. I wish you all a blessed new year, Julia. So, what's the light?
Right, Julia, thank you ever so much. It's very kind of you. When the show nearly didn't happen, JP's put his back out and I've been under the psychological hammer for some bit, but I'm not going to run away, and unless I'm actually dying physically, I will do this show. But I'm only going to do this an hour, which is nearly up. A very good question, because it's slightly different. The people who have said that we are divine or ultimate consciousness are correct. That's exactly what we are. But it is to fail to understand. If I take a pure glass of water from the highest mountain that's been filtrated by natural bedrock for thousands of years, and it's totally untainted, and then I go and take a drop of ink and drop it in there, it's been affected. So, yes, divine consciousness or pure consciousness, if you go and put a prison around it, it doesn't matter, it can't necessarily get back to source. So I've never said that we're not. What I've said is that an artificial barrier has been created to prevent exactly what those good people have said. And I call it the energy grid. There are some very large gaping holes in this energy grid. It's still up and running, but it is now possible to get through this with some difficulty. How do we do this? Every night, before you go to bed, think in your mind whether you want to go back to source or your star family. If you have a strong pull to a particular star constellation, you may choose to go there, but you may decide to go to source. So you say to yourself, the last thing at night is I wish to return to source, or I want to go to the Pleiades, whatever turns you on. First thing in the morning, say that again. The point about this is that we are biological bodies, and we learn by rote. It's not a very good thing, but it's all we have at the moment in the armories. So when your physical body just die, you won't even know you're dead on one level, because you won't be dead. You'll be alive, but your physical body won't move, but you will feel different. And if you've been saying for the last 20 years, I wish to return to source, the very first thing your soul will remember is, I wish to go back to source. And then suddenly, you know, you'll find an apparition appear in front of you. Could be the Archangel Michael, could be Jesus Christ, could be Charlie Chaplin. There are people that really like Charlie Chaplin, you know. And usually what happens is someone is sent that means something to that person. And I've always said, my goodness me, you know, in the case of Charlie Chaplin or Jesus Christ, he's very busy, you know, and he's amazing. He took time out of his busy schedule to take you by the hand and lead you back to heaven. Now, I'm not actually being sarcastic. I'm trying to make a very important point here, that the defense system that maintains the status quo will already have mapped what it is that you will respond to best. It might be Great Aunt Agatha, might be your father, might be your sister. And that person will appear to you and say, come, follow me, I will take you to heaven. And the reality is, I'm afraid, ladies and gentlemen, that is not what it intends to do. It is a holographic, artificial intelligent machine. And all it wants to do is to take you, electromagnetize you so that your soul forgets that lifetime, put you into what very, very brave people who have some memories call the freeze box. And then from the freeze box, you will be recycled back here. However, if you say, I do not wish to go there, I want to go to source, then you turn away, you do not accept their help. You're a sovereign being. You don't need Charlie Chaplin or Great Aunt Agatha. You know, you're a sovereign being. You turn your way and say, I'm going back to source. And then you'll see this bright light and a tunnel, just like Hollywood shows you. Don't go down that way. That's a trick. You just turn away from it and you keep going. And every time you see the tunnel and the light, you turn away. And only three things can happen. The first thing is that you think, oh, I'm just so tired. I'm so tired. I can't do this. You go down the tunnel, zap, you come back. Okay? Maybe you do it next lifetime. That's the first one. The second one is where you get trapped in limbo. You cannot escape the earth, but you neither go through to the source or the energy. So you remain as an entity, a spirit, a soul, somewhere on the earth. Maybe then you'll get attached to the house you lived in. Maybe there was a particular object that you really liked and it was important to you, so you'd hover around that for a few thousand years till something happened to set you free. Or alternatively, suddenly, after all this battle, you look down and below your feet you see a fine weft. Some people describe it silver colour, some people a gold colour, a weft of energy. And you have passed through successfully that energy net, and you will now go to source. And that's what you have to do, because nobody has the right to hold you back, to imprison you, to prevent you having your destiny. And you need to fight for truth and justice. So good luck with that. Thank you.
Excellent. So what's a weft? Could you expand on what you mean by that?
I see. If people go look up on Google. It's a term used when you are putting cotton together. You actually have a machine. The Anglo-Saxons used to do it. You make clothes.
Ah, in the loom. It's a warp and a weft, isn't it? That's what you're talking about.
Exactly right.
So yes. It's like horizontal lines, are you saying?
Yes, but it also can be horizontal lines, but also crisscross as well. So you have vertical lines and horizontal lines sometimes, and other times you just have vertical or horizontal. And it's just like a spider's web designed to trap you, your soul, remember, the energy soul. Right. I think we're done, JP, for today.
I think, Simon, thank you for, maintaining your energy for this long. So, we're going to have probably a long discussion. Maybe people can call in afterwards. But thank you so much, Simon, and, God bless you. And I'll see you in a couple of weeks and you'll be back up to full fitness by then, I hope.
Yes. Thank you to all the listeners, to everybody and to yourself. Let's make 2017 the year that breaks us free. Thank you.